man's statements. Grace is conferred through the church's teaching of revealed what? Revealed truth. This would make a doctoral thesis. A man could spend 3 years writing on grace coming only through the truth. And that's why those who don't share our fullness of God's revealed truth do not have access to the fullness of grace. Are we making sense? That's it. Number 49. Only believing Catholics benefit from the Mass. The answer is no. By the way, though, he will get to the Eucharist eventually in this course. But as I think we've said, the Holy Eucharist is really three sacraments in one. The Eucharist is a sacrifice sacrament, the Eucharist is a communion sacrament, and the Eucharist is a presence sacrament. Where sacrament means channel of grace. And among these three ways in which the Eucharist is a channel of grace, the first and the third, namely sacrifice sacrament and presence sacrament, among these three, therefore, the Mass, the sacrifice sacrament, and the real presence, which is presence sacrament, they confer grace on the whole world, and not only on the recipient. Let me tell you, this is not a trivial statement. In other words, the city of Detroit needs churches with the Blessed Sacrament. Consequently, when we speak Christ's presence in the Blessed Sacrament, or where are we? Only believing, 49. Only believing Catholic benefit from the Mass. That's false. Why? Because unlike communion sacrament, which does require the state of grace to begin with. Question. Suppose a Jew who does not believe as a Jew in Christ's divinity, should he does not believe in the real presence, suppose he goes to communion. Does he receive Jesus Christ in communion? Does he receive Jesus Christ? Yes. Does he receive any grace? No. And this is what the present Pope, here we go, I repeat in history, is one of our great pontiffs. That is why he is such a strong advocate of Eucharistic adoration. The world needs Christ's real presence. As we give Mother Teresa permission to carry the Blessed Sacrament with her into Albania. Because she told me, there may be no Mass in Albania under pain of death, execution. To say Mass is capital, yes, well, punishable by capital punishment. So she'd have our Lord there. Albania needs our Lord, of course, also to give her and her companion Holy Communion. So it's not just Catholics that benefit from the Mass. Number 50. Holiness is in the Church, benefits the whole world. And you follow the logic. Once you say that the Catholic Church is the universal channel of salvation, then obviously the holier the Church is, the more graces are given. Okay. 51. Christ's presence in the Blessed Sacrament is a source of grace, but only Christian believers. You see what I'm bringing out? No. False. That's why, by the way, say Catholics who are estranged from the church, say bad marriage, as we say, whatever the problem is. But the church tells them, you're bound by the Sunday obligation to go to Mass. Pray. You get grace. And the more serious the problem, the more grace they need. Number 52. God gives everyone sufficient grace for salvation. Is that true? Yes. But notice, we're not saying how he gives that grace. That's true. It's 53. I never know what I'm coming up with next. Does God give sufficient grace for every situation? In other words, do we have, no matter what the temptation or trial may be, do we have, are we guaranteed the grace of overcoming the temptation or resisting the trial then and there, every time God tries us? Michael says no. Well, look, this will be, I'm going to ask questions of you. How many would say, let me be clear, how many would say, remember, try temptation, tragedy, whatever, in our lives? And we need just floods of grace to cope. Are we at the time when we're facing this trial or temptation? Are we guaranteed by Christ the grace we need to resist? Just because we've got the trial and temptation, God, can we say God gives us sufficient grace to resist that temptation? So my question, how many of you say, having the temptation or the trial, we are guaranteed the grace to resist? How many would say God guarantees us the grace to resist? How many think we don't have the grace to resist? I see there's some absentee ballots here. Did you say no? In teaching the theology of grace, and there are certain things that I know from 25 years of teaching these fellows, where the human mind spontaneously finds difficulty. And there are certain classic areas of difficulty in our faith. This is one of them. The answer is no. The only grace we are guaranteed is the grace to pray. To know that, I repeat again, twice in one evening, your lives are changed. If you really believe it, if you really believe it. Pardon me, I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Put it in writing, if you don't mind. You understand my thinking. So we don't have this just a classroom situation. So no ordained priest, I think I'm not only allowed but encouraged to teach the faith before the Blessed Sacrament. So, no. All we're guaranteed is the grace to pray. And if we pray, we'll get the grace. If we don't pray, we may not. We don't know. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. So some of my judges objected. Listening to you, it sounds like you're telling us to do nothing else in our lives but pray. or whatever his name was. Yes, dear Jack, yes. Wake up. Now, just to have said it, and then we'll go on to whatever question you may have. The essence of prayer is a human will ready to do the will of God. We are praying as long as, but don't take this for granted, my friends, when our wills are ready to do the will of God. And that's why asking for help to be ready is just smart, that's all. Maybe I'm ready, maybe I'm not. Now, are there any questions from the... Could I have them, please? I'd like to read them if you don't mind. Would somebody... Anybody have one question ready? You'll have to practice the mortification. We are in chapel. What is the practical significance of no salvation outside the church? How can we tell who is outside? Well, that is not the real issue. In other words, the one outside can be taken either objectively or subjectively. Now, the definition, the church's definition, extra ecclesiam nulla salus, defines not the subjective, but the objective meaning of outside. What do we mean? This question asks, subjectively, how can we tell who's outside the Catholic Church? No. Only God really can. One of them, of course, is those who are not baptized. But that's not much help either, because a person may have reached the age of reason, be in the state of grace, and then you might still say the person is outside the church, but you get into other theological problems. The real statement behind outside the church there's no salvation is outside the church objectively, in other words, grace is not conferred except through the Catholic Church, or even generically outside the church, meaning that whoever gets grace gets the grace through this objective, divinely instituted reality called the Catholic Church. Are there any more? Look. Now we need 2 more hours. If you don't mind, I may not read all 4 of your... Protestants say that only those who accept Jesus as a personal Savior are saved, and that they are saved by this acceptance. Water is not emphasized, and that they have perpetual, eternal assurance of their salvation. Well, first of all, you marvel at that quiet, childlike simplicity of faith. I tell them, I admire what you're saying. But then I tell them, how do you know? And I can ask that question, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Then, and I've talked to them, they repeat themselves. as I say, that God knows. Well, thanks with him. If you say that only God knows, then how come you're so remarkably assured? Is there an immediate? And I've seen it. I have to use the word. It is irrational. In fact, there are very few things about those which those people would be that sure. Now, sureness or certitude is in the mind. We touched on this, I think, before, but just to bring out another angle. And pardon me for spending this kind of time, but I think it's worth it. And what we might do, by the way, as a thought, we might maybe have just one session on questions. How's that? Where the mind does not have access to rational grounds for knowledge. Repeat. Where the grounds of rational knowledge for the mind are absent, then the will substitutes. The will then replaces the mind. Am I making sense? In other words, there are basically two sources of knowledge. Personal experience, whether of reason or experience in other ways. Say, I've seen the Empire State Building, so I know there's an Empire State Building. I can prove, because I figured it out, that 2 plus 2 equals 4. My reason tells me. So one way that I can know is through, I use the word reasoned experience. The other is by faith. Now in faith, I think we've talked about this, I'm not sure though. Whenever we believe, and we're talking here, say, about divine faith, but even human faith. Whenever I believe what somebody else tells me, you know, say, I accept it as truth. See, the key word is truth. If I accept it as true, it's because my will has been motivated by some benefit that it sees in accepting better in the will. The will must see some benefit to the person to then have the will tell the mind, believe. In other words, we cannot believe without the will telling the mind to believe. I cannot tell you how crucial this is for understanding human psychology. And consequently, whatever benefits there are, now, those benefits may be genuine, they may be pseudo. The advertising industry, by the way, lives, multi-billion-dollar business, lives on assuring people of pseudo-benefits if they buy whatever they're told to buy. Now, back to this, as we were talking about being sure they're saved. Well, these people, God bless them, have been sold a bill of goods. They want their mind to tell them, I'm saved, I'm saved. So then, their will has been deceived or has been deceptively given a benefit, truths of salvation, if they believe in Christ as their Savior. And then, because the will is behind the mind, hope I haven't lost anybody. See, the will is behind the mind. The mind has no grounds, no rational grounds for this idea. No rational grounds for it. Anyway, even in Scripture. That's why, by the way, Luther died. Oh. Just maligning the letter of St. James. Oh, he just hated that letter. No, Lutheran is right mind if he, Lutheran, would dare in Luther's day accept the epistle of James. You know why? Well, remember what James said. Who remembers? Faith? Oh, okay. What did James say?
Faith without works is dead.
Is dead. No. In other words, where the will has control of the mind, it's incredible, unbelievable, what the mind will accept. That's why, by the way, people can get away with telling lies. Others will accept it as the truth because they see some advantage in believing a lie. Does God work through the Protestant churches? Yes. However, I'll correct myself. It's when I write, cross out, or I don't run a computer. What I do with a computer, press some button to. Does God work through Protestants? Yes. And we may say, by an extension of language, through Protestant churches. Insofar as the Protestant possess the truth. How's that? Simple. Okay. It's 8:33. Now, I'm going to Dallas, I think I told you, on Sunday. I'll be in Ann Arbor. You're most welcome to come to Ann Arbor. We're having on the Eucharist and on prayer. And then I'll be leaving after the program in Ann Arbor. I'm going to Dallas. I come back on the 10th, which I believe is a Tuesday of March. And since Wednesday is the 11th, our next class, therefore, will be the 11th of March. So our next class is the 11th of March. Apologies, but... And part of my job for the church is to work with communities that want to, remain authentic. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. At that particular moment of temptation, could you elaborate?
Yes, Father.
My hearing is not so good.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, Mother Angelica said that at the moment of temptation...
Would somebody repeat what he said?
At the moment of temptation, 2 weeks ago, Mother Angelica said, at the moment of temptation,
not only are the graces gained... said the moment of temptation, the grace is gained before and after the moment of temptation, do not count at that moment of temptation.
The grace is gained before and after?
Yes.
The moment of temptation?
Do not help.
Do not help.
At the moment of temptation.
At the moment of temptation.
And the grace is at the moment of temptation. They do not help. Is that what she said?
The grace is gained before and after. Before and after the temptation do not help at the time of temptation.
Yeah. It depends on what she meant. So.
Well, the point that Mother and God were making.
Saint 33.
Okay. Mother and Jonathan said that at the moment of temptation that you're being tempted, that the only grace that will help you is the grace that you pray for at the moment of temptation.
After the moment of temptation? Yes. Yeah. Is 8:33. Now, if she said that, it's not true. Not true.